Well, today we're in the book of Joshua, and moving forward, that's the series that we've been doing. If you didn't know it, that was it. Moving forward, and today's title, I guess, would be Moving Forward When the Rivers Flood and the Walls Don't Fall. So you can imagine where we're going, right? So Israel stands at the Promised Land, the Jordan River. The Jordan River flows from the Sea of Galilee down through Israel down to the Dead Sea. And there's very little water that escapes the Sea of Galilee, because most of the water there is taken for the city of Jerusalem and to the fresh water for other areas of Israel. But when there has been a drought, the Sea of Galilee has shrunk to, declined to dangerous levels, and so they had to find out another water source. So Israel has taken on one of the largest desalination projects in the world. And so they are taking water from the Mediterranean Sea, taking the salt out of it, and they have three huge desalination plants, and they pump water into the pipelines that's already there that the nation put in to draw the water out of the Sea of Galilee and take down for the whole nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel goes south of the Dead Sea and goes to the, I think it's the Sea of Aqaba, down into that area. Well, anyhow, they are now pumping water to that area and turning the desert to blooming. So that's in the scripture that God, the time would come when the desert would bloom. Well, it's now doing that because of the desalination program that Israel has put together. But for the children of Israel, they came to the Jordan River, but the Jordan River was at flood stage. That meant that Jordan River is above the Sea of Galilee. To the north are the mountain ranges, and the water that flows from Jordan River, so the Jordan River is the water that flows out of the snow melt from above the Sea of Galilee, comes into the Sea of Galilee and down into, flows through the Jordan River Valley. While during flood stage, that can be a mile across. It can be 10 to 15, 18 feet deep and a mile across the entire plain. So it's not like in a normal season, it's like the creek out here. I remember when we went to Israel, we were on the bus and a guy stopped on a bridge and he says, "Okay, we're on the Jordan River." And it's like, what? I looked out, it's just a little creek. I thought it was some big river, Mississippi or something. But it was just this little creek water was running into the Sea of Galilee. And it's like, wow, that's not what I imagined. So the bus was on both sides of the river. So that's how big it was. It was a little culvert or something. Well, now that doesn't happen. The Sea of Galilee doesn't have that much water coming from it or coming to it. And so they had to preserve it and find another way. Well, today our lesson is Israel. They have taken 40 years to get here. A trip that takes like 7-10 days took them 40 years. They could have used a GPS system. They could have used obedience. So anyhow, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Moses has died. Joshua has taken over the leadership appointed by God. And the children of Israel in this valley, the Jordan Valley, if you're looking north from the Dead Sea on the right-hand side, they were in that area, in those mountains there. And they needed to cross over the Jordan River to go into Jerusalem and those other areas. So they are standing there at flood stage. And, God could have waited. If he waited 40 years, surely he could wait another 6 months. wait till the water goes down before we have to cross. But God didn't have that as a plan. He had them go to the Jordan River and says, okay, now you're going to go across it in flood stage. So this is our lesson today, Joshua chapter 3, verse 9. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the word of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gershites, Amorites, and Jebusites. That's a lot of ites. Now, years ago, they would say these were fictitious people. But archaeology has found traces of these individuals. See, in Israel, whenever the time that we're speaking of, they were city-states, you know, like Troy, and, you know, so they were city-states. They had walled cities. They had a king in their city, and the people who lived around it, when there was trouble, they would come into the city walls, and these kings would have soldiers that would be able to fight against other kings who tried to invade, and so it was pretty much a standoff relationship between these ites. That's a joke, ites. Okay, all right. So anyhow, verse 11 says, see, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. This is important. That the ark is going to go ahead of you into the Jordan. And what does the ark represent? It represents God calling you. I'm sorry. I just have to make up, you know. I have to use the props. I have to use the props that God shows up with. So anyhow, so the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of the Lord. So the Ark was this acacia wood overlaid with gold, had wings on it, you know, cherubims with their wings extended. And on the bottom of this, or not on the bottom, but the top, was considered the mercy seat. And that's where God's presence dwelt, on top of that ark. And so they had four priests that would carry that. They couldn't touch the ark itself, but they would carry them on poles. And so the priests then were to take this ark, which was a symbol of God's presence, and walk into the water. How would you like to be a priest? Now when he chose 12, so the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, Lord of all the earth, what is God doing? He's helping the children of Israel know, because they, Israel, have to go into this land that is already occupied by these Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites. It's all, this land is occupied. And God is saying, you people, children of Israel, need to go in and get rid of them. And the reason for that was that their iniquity was severe. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. They needed to be destroyed, and that this is the land that God was going to give to the children of Israel for the nation of Israel. So as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So here at the Jordan, God instructs Joshua to instruct the priests carrying the ark that they have to go into the water. Now, there's songs, you know, step out in the water, you know, there's songs of, you know, quartets and things sing about stepping into the water. And some say go ankle deep, go waist deep, go out deep. Well, here, God is showing them that that being faithful to his word brings results. What God is saying to them, this is what you have to do, and we'll see what happens next. So the feet of the priest were dipped into the brim of the water. So the sandals on the feet of the priest were stepping into this water that was a mile across and could be as much as 15 feet deep in the middle. So they step into it. Verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. The understanding is that God's presence goes before us. So Jesus talks about that he goes before us. God is above us, in front of us, behind us, to the sides of us, and beneath us. So God is always around. He is always there. So But in our life, God is going before us. So this is a kind of a symbol of that with the children of Israel. Now, the Jordan at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away. So here they are, they walk into the Jordan River, and the water just like, boom, it's cut off. It's like a glass wall. It just cuts it off, and the water comes into a heap. It doesn't say that at the source God dammed up the Mediterranean Sea. It says that the water was coming out of the Mediterranean Sea. It was flood stage, and God stopped the water from flowing. So it was a miracle. So, and one of the other things, it talks about verses 16 and 17. At the town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down from the Sea of Arabah, or the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, the people crossed over opposite Jericho, the middle of the Jordan, and stood on dry ground while all the Israel passed by until the whole nation had completely crossed the dry ground. So these priests, they walked in, carrying the ark, they walked into the river, they got their sandals wet, the water stopped, they then continued to walk to the middle of the mile-long valley where all the water was, and they stood there on dry ground, and the million and a half people of Israel walked across on dry ground until they all got across. And then the priest carrying the ark would come on behind him. Now, the Jordan River, as we said, was at flood stage. There's no bridge. There's no boats. There's no plan B. So there's only, you go ahead. There was a joke, these guys, there's two guys and a woman, and they would come to this stream. This is a joke. And it's kind of a rushing river, whatever. And the one guy says, I can swim it. And so he jumps in and he swims and he almost drowns and he makes it over. The other guy, he says, well, I'm going to get a boat. He got in a boat and it was a canoe and he's rowing across. He's struggling and he finally makes it. The lady says, well, she looks at the map and says, there's a bridge up here. I'm going to go across it. Ladies, I got one for you. There you go. So the Jordan River, there was no bridge. It wasn't a short ways up that they could cross. It was they had to cross where they were at. Now, I'm sure the gossipers, the people who were bellyachers about the things going on, they're like, okay, let's see. Joshua, this will be his big failure. He's just started as the leader. Moses is the greatest person who ever led Israel, and he was. And the people are stuck on Moses, and Joshua has to fill the shoes and be the leader. And I'm sure there were the critics of Joshua. He can't do this. Well, and he is going to try and duplicate what Moses did. Moses just spread out, took the rod, put it out, Red Sea parted, and here Joshua is, he's going to part the Jordan River. So we see that there are always critics. But one of the things is Joshua heard from God. And when we hear from God, which is we hear his word and we apply his word to our life, we have it's an inner confidence that God is in this. Now, he is not into jumping off the second story of a building that he will pick you up. That doesn't happen. And there was people years ago in Johnstown did that, and they broke their legs. They walked off the second, they had a porch, and they were, very spiritual, and they said, God will keep us. And they walked off and fell down and broke their legs. God doesn't do foolish things. So Joshua heard from God, and he led the entire congregation of Israel to the water's edge and through to the other side. God does not part the waters before we get there. You know, it would have been a lot easier if Joshua would have just parted the waters and then everybody could walk across. But the people who were carrying the presence of God, they had to get into the water before the water stopped. And the whole nation of Israel had to see this. There's like 1.5 million people there watching this take place. And so obedience often comes before understanding. We have to, I don't understand it. Why would we need to go step in the water? If God is going to stop the water from flowing, do it before I get there. If God is going to answer my prayer, he needs to do it now while this problem still is fresh in your mind and I want to see it. Well, you got to go and pray and believe. So 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The key principles for this section was knowing God's plan to move forward. Always our future is in front of us. It's not behind us. We can rejoice in what God has done, but we can always plan for what God is doing. The priests had to walk until their sandals were wet, and they crossed over on dry ground. Then we move to Joshua 5. So they got across the river, and they are there. And the people in Jericho, they could have seen all of this happen, because Jericho, the city, is on the left-hand side. If you're going up from the Dead Sea, it's on the left-hand side, kind of up against the mountains, and they could see the whole plain clear across to the other side, the mountains over there, and this whole congregation of Israel, and the floodwaters, and the water stopping, and people, this 1.5 million people walking across. So here these people are in Jericho, and they're, whoa, what kind of a God is this? What kind of, the God of... The God of the Israelites is greater than our God. So, verse 13 of chapter 5. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Now, this is another important event that happens for Joshua. And, did you mean that for me? Well, number one is, we need to settle in our life, is God for us or is God against us? Some people believe that God's against them. This happened, that happened. No, it doesn't matter what happens, God is for us. Okay? If you can imagine the early Christians being, going into the arenas and, eaten by lions and target practice, or in Rome they would douse them with oil and light them as torches for the streets of Rome. Well, that's a good thing. They went, they were martyrs for cause. But God is always for us, and we must determine that. And so when Joshua sees this commander of the army of the Lord, verse 14, neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. What happens? Joshua fell on his face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. So this commander of the Lord's army is a theophany. It is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, pre-incarnation appearance. He came as an angel. He came as a messenger of the Lord, as if he were a man, as if he were a soldier. And Joshua, fittingly, ask him, "Are you for us or against us?" And the sword, and a guy had the sword of the Lord, meaning that God is always on our side to defend us, to walk before us, and to keep us safe. Doesn't mean we win every battle. It means that God is with us, and that some battles are meant for us to it's like walking into the wall. You run into the wall, what happens at the wall is you're supposed to turn left or right. So God takes us there before we turn left or right, So in our lives, God is directing us. So God is preparing Joshua for what lies ahead. He's, you're going to do something very impossible, Joshua. And we'll read about that in a minute. And one thing is we have to establish, is God for us or against us? Now, it seemed like a foolish question, but we have to remember it and we have to settle that question in our mind. God is for us. And he wants us, his spirit in us and his word to help mold and change us. Rhonda mentioned about our son's, our daughter-in-law, Jenny, that her dad passed. Well, I forget what the name, he was a brilliant, beyond brilliant man. And he translated the New Testament from Aramaic to English. And he's the sole translator of the entire New Testament. And it's by the American Bible Society. And I don't know the name which Bible it is. But anyhow, Jan, yeah. It's a contemporary, and Jan has it in her lap. So he's the one who translated that. Well, and what we were saying is that in the scriptures, it talks about how that John says, I beheld him, you know, meaning Jesus. And John is saying I, and be is the same as I am. So I held the I am. You know, that was what John did, and he wrote about that in the beginning. And I was thinking here, he would have translated that and would have putting it in sequence of what our sentence structure would be, but the Aramaic or whatever it is says, I, John, held, I am, held the I am, hugged him. And so anyhow, he now would have seen the one that he wrote about and he translated, and that he would have been held by him, by Christ. So, God gives us insight, and the devil may mean it for evil, but God can make it good. So this we know with God's leading, no matter what happens to us, around us, with us, in us, the Lord is our salvation, the Lord is my Savior, he is the strong shield, he is the mighty helper, he is the arm, he is the one who delivers us. So Joshua is told to take off his sandals. Why? Because it's holy ground. What makes it holy? The angel of the Lord is there. And in our life, when we have those moments where we feel that God is with us, we need to recognize that's a holy moment. You know, they come maybe once in a lifetime, they may come more often, but it shows up and there's just this assurance that God is with us. So we find that this is what happens with Joshua here before he takes his next step. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out or came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hand, all along with his king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. When the priests blow the trumpet, when you hear them sound the long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go, everyone straight in. That's the key. That number one, now, can you imagine? I've got a plan for you to take the city. It is impossible, impregnable. They've got a base of about 20 feet that is brick. And then on top of that, they have walls that are another 20 feet. And behind that is another wall about 20 feet. And behind that is Jericho. And it's so crowded in there, people built their houses on the walls. Okay? And so here's the plan. I want you to go there and walk around the city and don't say a thing and do it once every day for 6 days. Then I want you to go around the city 7 times on the 7th day. And when you're done, blow the horns and shout. Doesn't that sound like a good plan to take down a city? No, it doesn't. But that's the plan. And see, sometimes what God asks us to do is foolish to us, But in the same token, obedience is what we're looking for. And archaeologically, the walls in Jericho fell outward. So that 20 feet of base, which was the wall around Jerusalem, and then the wall that was built up here on the top, that wall fell outward, and the soldiers of Jerusalem ran straightway up into the city. Because without the walls falling outward, they could have never ran straight into the city. Archaeologically, they have dug and they found that like ramp exists at Jericho. So imagine being a soldier. Joshua, he may have got it right with the Jordan River, but this is no way that this is going to happen. Well, God's instructions test obedience. And obedience does not mean we understand. Obedience often brings understanding. So, chapter 6, verse 15. And on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on the day they circled the city seven times. Now, one of the important things is they were not allowed to talk. There was no women soldiers at that time. I gave you one. I had to take it back. You know. So they were not to talk. Why? Because they would have talked themselves out of it. Because this is totally foolish. In the natural course of things, this is just totally foolish. Walk around the city once and then seventh day march around seven times. Don't you know it's hot out here? we're down at the Dead Sea level, one of the lowest places on the earth, and it's so hot down here, and we got to march around this wall seven times. This is, you know, keep quiet and just march. All right. So the seventh time around, the priest sounded the trumpet blast. Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted," meaning everything in the city is given to God. There is nothing of the city they are to take for themselves. It's all God's. "Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared." Now, Rahab was on the wall, okay? Her house was on the wall, and there was a scarlet robe, a scarlet cord, and her house, she had all of her relatives and that she could get in the house there. And the walls around Jericho all fell down, but that little section had a house on it. It was Rahab's. You see, sometimes for Rahab, God was promising to deliver her and her family because she believed in the God of Israel, because she took care of the two spies that came. And so we have, she saw what God had done and saw that the God of Israel was greater than the gods of the Jericho and those idols that they wash and worship and sacrifice to. So we go on but keep away from the devoted things, the things dedicated to God, so that you will not bring about your own destruction. There are some things that belong to God. He says, keep your hands off. And we'll find out about that in the next series. But if you take something that doesn't belong to you, it's going to have consequences. And there is a guy who took something from the city that belonged to God, and he hid it in under his tent, in his the rug in his tent. He dug a hole in the desert, and he took it, and anyhow brought destruction. That's the next lesson. All the silver and gold and all the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed and everyone charged straight in. So the people circled for 7 days. Trumpets sounded, people shouted, walls fell, they ran in and conquered the city. So, Joshua shares the same root meaning as Jesus. Yeshua, Joshua, Joshua, Jesus, they have the same root meaning that his name, they interchangeable. Jesus could have been called Joshua. Joshua could have been called Jesus. So Joshua led Israel to the promised land. Jesus leads us to the promises of the scripture. Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Jericho's wall fell by faith and obedience. Sin's stronghold on our life fell at the cross. Jesus defeated it. The greatest wall in humanity that humanity has ever faced is separation from God. This barrier fell when Jesus declared, "It is finished. It's done." There were impossible rivers to cross for Israel. There was a walled city. There will be, see, the parallel is there is impossibilities that face us. The river has to be crossed, have to put your foot in it. There is a walled city that has to be conquered. You need to march around it. You need to pay attention to what God is doing. And there are marches that feel repetitive and seemingly nothing happens. There are times that we pray and seemingly nothing happens. Well, there are victories that seem delayed, but doesn't mean they're not coming. So, who stopped the Jordan River and piled it up like a heap? One of the things about this Jordan River being piled up as a heap, it did not go out wider. It's like the river had its banks and the water stopped and piled up, but it didn't flood outward to the rest of the plain. It stayed where it was and it went the whole way back up to this city that was mentioned. So it's like God's miracles are different and they can happen any way, in any means that God determines. And so it's us being faithful and obedient and learning to hear or sense or know what the scripture is saying to us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what is the thing that I need to do? March around the city? Well, that's foolish. Get my sandals wet? Well, God, stop the water before I get there. So the same God who went before Israel is the same God who goes before us. The same God who caused the walls of Jericho to collapse is the same God who is with us. So, crossing the Jordan, walking until your feet get wet, what is it that we take with us from this message? Stepping into the water, submitting to the orders that we receive from Christ and his direction, walk around until you go around seven times and see the walls fall. And remember when God says walls will fall, they will fall. When God gives promises, they are for real. So we're going to take 30 seconds and just, what is it that we find in these stories or in these illustrations that speak to us about, they're not illustrations, they're real events that happened in the life of Israel, and what is it that can be applicable to us? Moving forward when the river floods and there are walled cities, walls to a city to conquer. Nothing is impossible with God. Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for your spirit that speaks to our life, gives us courage and encouragement to give us strength for our day. So as your day is, so shall your strength be. We thank you for these promises. We thank you for how you watch over and keep us. We thank you for being with each one here now for this special blessing. Lord, let your blessing rest upon them and their family. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.